Let's open our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 13. Now, as we're going through the different kings, now if you didn't pick up one of those, it looks like this. Probably can't read it from there. But it's all the kings of Israel, the chronological kings in the divided kingdom of Judah in Israel. And it tells you how long they reigned and whether they were good or bad kings. You might wonder, why do we keep going down through these kings, king after king after king, and this one is bad and this one is good? Well, one of the things I see in this is Ecclesiastes 1:9. There is no new thing under the sun. We see mankind making the same mistakes week after week, year after year. The heart of man hasn't changed in the last 6,000 years. Oh, we've changed our clothing and our transportation and our housing and such, but the heart is still desperately wicked. Who can know it? And sin exists in both the powerful and in the weak. Those who have lots of control and power over others and those who are under that control. But that's what I see in when I look at these chronicles of the kings. As we open up in 1 Kings 13, I'll read the first five verses. In the 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoaz, the son of Jehu, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, and reigned 17 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of Hazael, king of Assyria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, all their days. And Jehoahaz besought the Lord, and the Lord hearkened unto him, for he saw the oppression of Israel, because the king of Syria oppressed them. And the Lord gave Israel a savior, so that they went from under the hand of the Syrians, and the children of Israel dwelt in their tents as beforehand. So we look at God's grace here. We see the troubles coming on Israel again, and as soon as the king calls out to him, the Lord answers the prayer. And, you know, what's interesting is, you know, when you go through the book of Judges, you find over a period of 400 years, Israel was close to the Lord, then they fell into sin, they fell into idolatry, they fell away from the Lord judged them, they came back to the Lord. They did that seven times as a cycle over 400 years in the book of Judges. And here we have God's chosen people. They knew they were God's chosen people, and yet they keep falling away. It was Jeremiah 17:9, is it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? They're God's chosen people. They know who Jehovah is. They have at least have the Pentateuch by now. You know, they have God's word, and yet they keep missing the mark. When I was in Israel one time, we were meeting with the head of tourism, and somebody asked him, I don't remember if it was me or somebody else, said, what's it like to be God's chosen people? And he just kind of stared off into space and said, sometimes we wish we weren't so chosen, you know, because with it comes stuff, comes trouble. But here we have Israel, again, falling into problems. And, you know, I said the heart of man hasn't changed. I was thinking tonight as we sang that song, I Surrender, how much was it? All. Sometimes I'm tempted to sing I Surrender Some, or I Surrender Most. But we sing, I surrender all, because that's the desire of our heart. And yet we look at these guys, and they knew the Lord God. They knew Jehovah, and yet look what they're doing. In verse 6, he goes on to verse 9. Nevertheless, they departed not from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin, but walked therein, and there remained the grove also in Samaria. Neither did he leave of the people to Jehoahaz but 50 horsemen and 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen. Sounds like a lot. For the king of Syria had destroyed them and had made them like the dust by threshing. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoahaz and all that he did and in his might, and are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And Jehoahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria. And Joash, his son, reigned in his stead. So the Lord answers the king's prayer, but the people continue in their sin. And the king of Syria left him a little army, sort of, to defend himself. Verse 10, in the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, began Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, to reign over Israel and Samaria and reign 16 years. Now, if you're having trouble keeping track of these kings, just keep that list handy, okay? Because I have trouble keeping track of them also. And verse 11, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, but he walked therein. And the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, and his might wherewith he fought against Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And Joash slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam sat upon his throne, and Joash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. So in this period of time, Judah had a few good kings. Israel had none. Verse 14, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. This is Elisha the prophet, the one who took over for Elijah. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. You know, even people of great faith get sick and die. And it's foolishness to believe that sickness or death or trouble means a lack of commitment to God. Because it happens to everyone. Beware of anyone who offers a cure-all for the ills of mankind, other than God's grace and mercy. Faith doesn't guarantee security or safety in this life. It gives us security in God's eyes, in his presence. It's the next life where the security is. Faith can give us peace here on this earth, but not health and prosperity. Just reading an article in World Magazine about a pastor out somewhere. He and his wife had co-joined twins. And the things that they had to go through with these two girls that were joined together, and just a real trial. And it's a real fallacy to believe if you have enough faith that God will heal us when we get sick, or God will make us rich. You know, the wealth, health and wealth doctrine, or the name it and claim it, the blab it and grab it. All the faith in the world isn't what's going to extend my life beyond what God's allotted time. It says he's numbered my days. I don't want to know what those days are, but he's numbered them. Elisha's ministry lasted over 60 years, and it really altered the history of Israel. King Joash was so moved that he cried out, my father, just showing how the king admired and respected Elisha. He also cried out, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. In those days, the measure of an army's strength was the number of chariots they had. And King Joash knew that Elisha's relationship with Jehovah God was the real strength of Israel. But he continued in his evil ways. Like many today, they may have a respect for God. They may have a knowledge of God. They may acknowledge that God's there. They may even say that they love God, but they don't truly serve God. Many know that serving God is the right thing to do, but continue to serve their idols. Like the song we sing, I surrender all, or some, or most. Many know they should be walking in the Spirit, after the Spirit, but they continue to walk after the flesh. Verse 15, and Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And put his hand upon it. And Elijah said, and Elijah put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians and Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice, three times, and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him. And he said, you should have smitten five or six times. Then had you smitten Syria till you had consumed it, whereas now you shall smite Syria but thrice. So you might think, gee, that's not fair. You didn't tell me to shoot them all. But he tells him to shoot these arrows out the window. But he wants him to empty the quiver here. Instead, he shoots three of them into the ground, and Elijah's angry with him. He says, you should have done five or six. That'll give you a total victory over Syria. Now you're just going to end up with a partial victory. You know, and he didn't know, but how many times do we stop short of a victory that God has right before us? We either didn't hear, we didn't understand. And this story really teaches us to be persistent when battling the enemy, because half-hearted efforts don't bring victory. The devil never sleeps. He never gives up. He's always like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't help to have a half-hearted commitment to God. That won't give us the strength that we need and the persistence that we need. And Elijah, verse 20, and Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. But Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. And the Lord was gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, and had respect unto them, because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence as yet. So Hazael, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his stead, and Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. Three times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. You know, I can't help but think when they touched the bones of Elisha and sprang back to life, somebody didn't grab those and go out on the road on some kind of a healing ministry. It doesn't say that, though. There's some lessons to be had here, though, that acknowledging that God is there isn't necessarily enough just to acknowledge him. He says you got to give up your idols. We need to be serving God completely. Is it Matthew says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this other stuff will be added to you? Half-hearted efforts don't give us victories. And God can use us till the day that we die. That's encouraging to me as we get... I often say I have more years behind me now than I have ahead, but that's not true. I have eternity ahead of me. I had to change my statement. And sometimes, in Elisha's case, there was some power in his bones even after he had died. How do I explain that? I can't. I don't know. God can do anything he wants. I like what Paul said in Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Okay, we're chapter 14. And I'll keep going till we run out of time. In the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Yet not like David his father, not his immediate father, but generations ago. Not like David his father, he did according to all the things that Joash his father did. So on the chart of kings... of Israel, king number 12, this Jehoash, he was a bad king. In Judah, king number 9 is Amaziah. He was a good king. But it says that he didn't measure up to David. I mean, David had his problems. He was a sinner like everybody else, but he had a heart after God. And God saw that. Verse 4, howbeit, or however, the high places were not taken away, As yet the people did sacrifice and burnt incense on the high places. So this is Amaziah, king of Judah, son of Joash. He did what was right, but he didn't remove the high places of idol worship. It talks about that in the last chapter, 12, 2 and 3. Kind of see the influence that a father can have on the son, like father, like son. It's so important what we're teaching our children and our grandchildren, because that'll be forming them for the future. Verse 5 and 6. And it came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, that he slew his servants which had slain the king his father, but the children of the murderers he slew not, according unto that which is written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So Amaziah goes out and he kills his father's assassins, which they had assassinated him. And he states what should be obvious, that we're all responsible for our own sins. You can't blame your kids. You can't blame your parents. We're all going to stand before God on our own. Lord, here I am. I'm with Jesus. Yeah. Verse 7. He slew of Edom in the Valley of Salt 10,000 and took Selah by war and called the name of Jokthiel unto this day. And called the name of it Jokthiel unto this day. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us look one another in the face. And Jehoash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon, and trode down the thistle. Thou hast indeed smitten Edom, and thine heart hath lifted thee up. Glory of this, and tarry at home, for why should thou meddle in thy hurt, that thou shouldst fall, even thou and Judah with thee? First, he states again, we're all responsible for our own sins. Can't blame our parents and their children. But Amaziah here, he challenges Jehoash, which is Joash, king of Israel, to a fight. The reason, well, he's kind of puffed up, I think. He just had a victory over his dad's assassins. He killed all of them. He had a victory over Edom. He did well there. And oftentimes, a victory, a time of victory, whether it's spiritual or even a physical victory, can be one of the most dangerous times of our life because we get a little full of ourselves. Satan immediately attacks. He comes in and tries to rob, he'll try to rob us of our joy of the victory, or he'll bring into some kind of a misery of defeat, or he'll cause us to be all puffed up because we won, and we'll behave foolishly. Right after Jesus was baptized, what happened? Satan came to tempt him, didn't he? And as a new king here, Amaziah, he's feeling invincible. He's having these victories. We need to be careful of self-confidence. It's not a good trait for believers. We should have God confidence. Self-help seminars say, you are great. You can do it all. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Who do you want to believe? Verse 11. But Amaziah would not hear. Therefore Jehoash, king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, looked one another in the face at Beth Shemesh, which is in Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to their tents. And Jehoash, king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Jehoash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh, and came to Jerusalem, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim unto the corner gate 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and silver, and all the vessels that were found in the house of the Lord, and in the treasures of the king's house, and hostages, and returned to Samaria. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoash, which he did, and his might, and how he fought with Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And the answer is yes. And Jehoash slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. with the kings of Israel. And Jeroboam, his son, reigned in his stead. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Jehoash, king of Jehoahaz. I'm sorry, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. And the rest of the acts of Amaziah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? You know, it's important to keep in mind that a lot of this conflict that's going on is Jews against Jews. It's like civil war. Amaziah is defeated by Jehoash, his army scattered, parts of Jerusalem's wall is broken down, and the treasures of Judah were taken. We need to be careful about pride. It brought Amaziah down. He was getting all puffed up, you know, beating himself on the chest. I can do this now. And bring us all down. We can easily be defeated by that enemy of pride. Now in verse 19, he goes on to say, now they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, and they sent after him to Lachish and slew him there. And they brought him on horses, and he was buried at Jerusalem with his fathers in the city of David. And all the people of Judah took Azariah, which was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. So Amaziah here, he runs to Lachish. His enemies followed him. They killed him. Only he'd be content with what God had given him. But he wasn't. Like what the Apostle Paul said. What did he say? He says, I've learned to be content with what in whatsoever state I'm in. He didn't mean New York or Wyoming. He meant any condition that I find myself in. Verse 23, in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria. And he reigned 41 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering in of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spoke by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-hepher. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter. For there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Lord said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven. But he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all that he did in his might, how he warred and how he recovered Damascus and Hamath, which belonged to Judah for Israel, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jeroboam slept with his fathers, even with the kings of Israel, and Zechariah, his son, reigned in his stead. So Jeroboam the second now rules Israel. He did evil, worshipped golden calves. Takes us back to Exodus, doesn't it? Throwing the gold in the fire, now it pops a calf. But he did restore the borders of Israel. It says, spoken by Jonah, the author of the book of Jonah, but he didn't speak of it there. And Zechariah is king, fulfilling God's promise. 2 Kings 10:30 says, the Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in executing that which is right in my eyes, and is done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in mine heart, thy children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. This is 30 years from the Assyrian captivity, as God will judge their refusal to turn from their sins. And he's going to be speaking through the prophets of Hosea, Isaiah, and Micah. Now, I'm going to do a few verses here. Chapter 15, let's look at the first seven verses. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 250 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, save that the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places, and the Lord smote the king, so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house, judging the people of the land. And the rest of the acts of Azariah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. This is probably better explained. Well, if you turn to your right in your Bible to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 26, verse 14, it better explains what we're going through right here. Make sure I get my chapter right here. 2 Chronicles 26, 14. Uzziah, also known as Azariah, prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. That sounds like a catapult, doesn't it? And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. So, and then verse 17, Azariah the priest went in after him. So we're meeting two Azariahs here, a priest and a king. Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him fourscore priests of the Lord, that's 80, that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah, also known as Azariah, the king, and said unto him, it pertains not unto thee, or it's not proper, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary. For you have trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth. That means the veins in your neck stick out and your face gets red. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him. And behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in the several house, or in the several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. So Azariah, or Uzziah here, was a good king. He did something he shouldn't have. He intruded himself into the priestly duties that was preserved for the Aaronic priesthood, Aaron in the priesthood. What did he do? He got leprosy. He had 52 years of his reign, and this is the thing that's mentioned most about him. The rich and the wealthy aren't immune from judgment either, and the powerful. It shows that we need to be careful about pride. It caused the fall of his dad, Amaziah. He killed his father's assassins, conquered Edom, challenged the king of Israel, caused Azariah's downfall also. Pride. It's important to remember that the time of greatest victory can be a time of greatest weakness. I like what former President Eisenhower said. There are no victories at discount prices, well said. Yeah, and I'm going to stop right here so that we have a time of prayer and fellowship. We'll pick up with verse 8 next week in chapter 15. So, Lord, we just come before you, Lord. Thank you for the chronicling of these kings, Lord, and the difficult times that they had, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the examples. And, Lord, that we can learn from them too, Lord. And as Ecclesiastes said, there is no new thing under the sun. The heart of man is still the same. And there's so much we can learn, Lord, just from the mistakes of others. So, Lord, give us a heart after you. Help us to be those that seek after your kingdom, Jesus, as we surrender all to you, Lord. We know that it's a lifelong process, but we still aim for that. That's our aim, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word again. Thank you, Lord, for the examples we've had of how to behave and how not to behave, Lord. To you goes all the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.